time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. We welcome in Eric Meehan. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Living in the electric jungle here, loving life.
Just saying, you know, you had far too much of that shreddy guitar, which actually I didn't mind. I looked up that album. It's pretty awesome. that your previous guest was talking about. I figure we're talking South Africa today. You got to talk a little, got to be preceded by South African music. So there you go. It was really funny. Like, you know, I obviously my knowledge of South African pop music is deep and storied and really legendary. I was sort of hastily looking up what to have you play before I came on this morning, and I kind of just found myself letting that play, and long after I had texted you, like, yeah, put this on, I'm like, huh, this is far more fun and uplifting than anything I tend to listen to in the morning, which is mostly sports talk radio, and given how my teams are doing, it's understandable that I kind of want to slip my wrist on a daily basis. So there you go. Sounds like Maine's got a good new head coach. That's exciting. He seems to be following the agenda of every other new head coach, not actually having talked to anybody at his former job, seen anybody, and been on a plane somewhere en route.
Yes.
Which, it's the most awkward time of the year. Not that I'm on air to talk about this, but I know I'm just the same as every other talking head, but why is National Signing Day in the middle of people still finishing their seasons? It's really mean. Really, really mean to everybody. And I feel so badly for every single collegiate athlete. And I know football is the big one that they talk about, but I'm sure it's the same in other things. Like, if you've literally got to be recruiting and signing people and also behind their back talking about your next job, I mean, I guess it feels like every other job, but it just feels so dirty because it still is, you know, youth.
Right.
Anyway, crazy stuff. That's why I'm glad, you know, there's times, and you're a teacher, so, you know, I don't know if you can empathize, but I'm glad I deal in something, and not cheese, of course, but, you know, alcohol, it's like, nah, you're not 21, we're not even talking. We're not doing this. It's nice that, frankly, the government has set legal boundaries and I don't have to deal with it. The other legal boundaries they set, I hate, but that one's actually a pretty good one. So as I said, South Africa today, South Africa, we're finishing up, the world, in anticipation of, the end of the year, really. So South Africa, this is the one thing that I find most interesting, though it may not be interesting to the greater majority of you, is that it is the oldest geologic wine region in the world. So there's, for those who can kind of picture the southern part of Africa, it obviously, you know, curves around, you've got in the interior just a vast flatland plateau that is like 1,500 to 2,000 meters above sea level. And it is broken off at what they call the Great Escarpment, also known as Drakensberg, near the coast, where basically that plateau sloughs off and sheds, these ancient geologic sediments, which then are all sort of washing down towards the coast, and producing discoveries of, say, diamonds, as well as producing fantastic wine-growing regions. But, of course, you can't really talk about South Africa without mentioning that, 35 years ago plus, it was not the land it is today. I would hope to say a better place today, although it's interesting that from the generation of apartheid, I've now heard the term COVID apartheid, And was it vaccination apartheid, which I guess is still a very real thing there. And so I don't quite know what to say about that. This is not a show that I feel comfortable dwelling on that, but it's interesting. But of course, apartheid was not only keeping blacks out of the economic environment and the chance to live and do things, and today that is different. In fact, I have some wines in my store that are made by female black winemakers from South Africa that are fabulous. But also women in general. It was there's a wine cooperative that was government sponsored, loosely, and then it sort of gained some independence called the KWV, and it still exists as sort of a trade entity. But at the time, it was basically this overall domineering overlord, the KWV. I try to do this every year, and I always screw it up, but bear with me. The Cooperative Wijnbouwers Vereniging van Zuid-Afrika, and it is basically, they pretend it was a co-op, but basically it was a rich old white men controlling the wine trade. So there you are. It was in power until basically 1990, 1991, when the National Party lost power. Basically since then, especially since the mid-90s, a flood of new investment, international investment, and young winemakers have really come to the fore, focusing not only on the fact that the geology is so ripe, not only for the famous grapes, or I suppose you'd say that the grapes that South Africa is known for, which I would suppose include Chenin Blanc, Cabernet Sauvignon, to a lesser degree Pinotage, which is a lab produced combination of Pinot Noir and Sanso, which at best tastes like a burning tire fire. they're branching out now because now they're growing Syrah, they're growing Sauvignon Blanc, they're growing Chardonnay, they're capable of pretty much growing whatever the heck you want, because you have elevations, you have different microclimates, and you have places that are so dominated by this sort of younger natural wine set that indeed in places like the Swartland, it's like there's a requirement on natural wines. You can't use more than 25% new oak in the Swartland, which is just think about that. Like they're like even your finest wines, you can't just flood them in this vanilla-y hedonism. Like you've got to make good wine. And they believe in it because you can there. And the wines still aren't that expensive, which is really nice. Like you can get right now, actually tonight I will be enjoying from the Penley Estate. It's a $20 wine. So you've got a lot of opportunity to enjoy wines from there. May I ask how much time I have? I'm sure I'm running out.
Just over a minute remaining.
Very good. I will use that opportunity to once again, and this is only because, frankly, by and large, 99% of everybody are being awesome. But please, folks, do understand where things are at when you come into the store. Please do wear a mask. Please be patient. Please understand that we are doing our best to provide what we can. And by and large, we are full to the gills. But just bear with people, not just us, but bear with everybody who you're dealing with in this holiday season. I know it's frustrating. I know maybe your money concerns are different than in years past, maybe better, maybe worse. Who knows? As I've mentioned prior, prices are going up. Things are weird for everybody. But we're going to do our best for you. So please do be patient with everybody as you shop downtown Bangor this holiday season. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, as always.
I'll join you next week. We'll talk about Australia.
We'll look forward to it. Have a great week, Eric.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message from the bottle. Every Tuesday on Downtown.